Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., excuse me. Every Tuesday through Fridays. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God again. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. this evening. Amen. So in the meantime, while we are waiting, I will play another selection. Praise God.
And sometimes we don't treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't find a friend, can't stop your heart. The searching deep within, where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem,
the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive the saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment,
of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Story about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible. And while we are waiting, I'll just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, our works, and our families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. In the meantime, I will play another selection.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am he. Oh, man. impossible things. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am. Oh. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but God says, I got a headache right now, but just rocking with pain, but I am. Somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
Somebody say, I am. Talk to somebody and say, God says. God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell him who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
He can bring you out no matter what it looks like. I am. One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, pick us up, Lord, and hold us in your loving arms. Protect us from the pressures of the day and remove the heaviness from our hearts. Inspire us with the knowledge that you and we together can handle anything. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's as simple as that. You just call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? God be the glory. Remember our motto in James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here today on this program. Every day from Tuesday to Saturday. And we are here to pray for one another. Amen. So in the meantime, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory.
I live for you.
Now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, amen, which is entitled Sharing Jesus. And the scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this chapter is a song of praise for salvation. Amen. And it says, in that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See? God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing. Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let him know how mighty he is. sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So this chapter is a hymn of praise, another graphic description of the people's joy when Jesus Christ comes to reign over the earth. Even now, we need to express our gratitude to God, thanking him, praising him, and telling others about him. From the depths of our gratitude, we must praise him, and we should share the good news with others. Amen. Praise God. Again, the text for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, and it says, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Amen. The writer says, shortly after Dwight Moody in 1837 through 99 came to faith in Christ, the evangelist resolved not to let a day pass without sharing God's good news with at least one person. On busy days, he sometimes forget his resolution until late. One night, he was in bed before he remembered. As he stepped outside, he thought, no one will be out in this pouring rain. Just then, he saw a man walking down the street. Moody rushed over and asked to stand under his umbrella to avoid the rain. When granted permission, he asked, have you any shelter in the time of storm? Could I tell you about Jesus? Moody embodied a readiness to share how God saves us from the consequences of our sins. He obeyed God's instructions to the Israelites to proclaim his name and make known among the nations what he has done in Isaiah 12 and 4. Not only were God's people called to proclaim that his name is exalted in verse 4, but they were also to share how he had become their salvation in verse 2. Centuries later, our call remains to tell the wonders of Jesus becoming a man, dying on the cross, and rising again. Perhaps we heard about God's love when, as Moody did, someone left their comfort zone to talk with us about Jesus. And we too, each in our own way, can let someone know about the one who saves. Amen. Praise be to God. Question, what has God done in your life that you can share with another? And how has he equipped you to present the good news? Amen. Think about those two questions. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for setting us free from our sins. Help us to be ready to tell others of your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. God be the glory.
Played it a million times, but still it escapes my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me. Ever rise.
To thank you for all of those things you do that we never see, helping us get through each day safely, making sure our families are protected at all times, and of all the other countless blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And it is as simple as that. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. Amen. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be.
He's in control
and he knows,
yes, he
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him
and
I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what the problem may be,
he's in control
and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live,
and
move, and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
Best of people.
Come on, lift them up again.
Oh, let's
rejoice.
problem may be,
you're in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I'm the victory for
thee. I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
If you believe that, sing this with us, let the people. Come on, lift him
up.
Control of me, show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, from this place where I'm at, yeah, I need an answer, and you know all the facts, I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes, over and over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Take away take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Learn all your words, I'm ready to stay. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody. Yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Precious and Heavenly Father, we ask you to protect our children physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, in every way possible. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And we're going to get into the second part of our program for this evening with our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. 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 Thank you. How's everybody?
Blessed. Thank you. Sister Barbara Wonderful. Is not with us yet. I say yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I heard her.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Good. So I've had an interesting week, but God is good. I'm so happy
All
to be
the
here
time.
Today. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Dear God, Lord God, we love you. We praise your holy name, Lord God, because you are worthy, Lord God. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega, Lord God. You are so sovereign, and you are majestic, and you are magnificent, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you into this lesson, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you give me the wisdom that I need, Lord God, that to teach this lesson, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you open up the hearts and minds of everyone who is listening, Lord God. Give them an ear to hear, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to bless everyone who's here. Bless those who cannot be here, Lord God. And I pray that they are able to come here another Tuesday, Lord God. Because, Lord God, the more we know about you, Lord God, the more we learn and we know how we should live, and we just love you, Lord God. Because we find out, Lord God, from your lessons, Lord God, how loving and kind you've been, Lord God, through all the ages, Lord God. There's none other like you, Lord God, and you give us the greatest, greatest example, Lord God, of how to love our enemies, because you love us so much, in spite of the fact that we've been enemies to you, Lord God, throughout the times, Lord God, and you love us in spite of ourselves. You gave us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and for our sins, Lord God, and now sits on the right hand with you, Lord God. And he's coming back again for us, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord God, for the salvation you have offered to each and every one of us who believe in you. So we thank you and we praise you, and in Jesus' name. And let's get into the lesson. Okay, so.
Amen. God bless.
Do we have a homework for today?
Huh?
Do we have a homework for today?
Yes. Good evening. How's everybody?
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? I need to
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all?
Blessed.
Wonderful.
Yes, we had homework.
I was sitting here because, you know, when I did the assignment, I wasn't anywhere stationary, so I didn't write anything down. And then I was sitting up here this afternoon, well, wait a minute. I think we had homework for today. So, what was the homework?
Where was Jonah born?
Right. So, who did it? You did it, Sister Barbara.
Yes.
Hilda, but were you able to do it too? Okay, great.
I did the wrong one.
What do you mean?
I did. Who was Jonah's father, or who is?
No,
Jonah?
That was the week before.
Oh,
that was the week before.
Okay,
remember? And Sister Barbara reported on that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
So this
I got
week
one.
Was where was Jonah born? So you want to. Barbara, to present that now, or you want to do some research and for next week?
I've done my assignment, so I mean,
I know you did, but
she always do.
Well, we should always do too, Sister
Tell
Barbara.
Her.
Teach us a lesson. Teach us something.
I can
Sister
wait.
Barbara, teach us. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I can wait, but as a teacher, that's what you do. You do what you expect your students to do, all right? So that's what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go on with our lesson, and we will probably finish up Jonah today. So we're up to the date and setting. And... So Jonah was a contemporary of Jeroboam the second. So, does anybody, do you guys remember much about Jeroboam first?
Not really.
So this, I'm just going to give a little bit of information about Jeroboam the first, is because Jeroboam, you know, after King Solomon, and we did this in our children's lesson, so Hilda should know this too because she was there.
Okay. Wait.
after King Solomon died, right, his brother, his son, Rehoboam, took over as king of the, you remember, at that point, the kingdoms were united. And, but during that time, too, Solomon had become extremely, I would say mean. Like, he put so much work on the people that the people were just, you know, just so tired, and he just put so much work on them, worked hours and hours and hours, you know, he treated them so badly. So when Rehoboam came into office, Jeroboam, one of the leaders of, you know, lived in the northern part of Israel, but they were all one. You remember at this point, they were all one country. And Jeroboam had asked Rehoboam, if he would lighten up the load that his father had did, that his father had put on them. And Rehoboam asked for, you know, counsel. He spoke to some wise counsel, and the wise counsel said to him, yeah, you know, you should do that, you know, show some compassion to the people. But then he also asked for advice of his contemporaries, his young friends, because he was young, so he asked his young friends, and they told him, no, you should be worse than your father.
Mm-hmm.
And Rehoboam went back to Jeroboam. He told him, give him 3 days to decide on what he was going to do. And then he went back to Jeroboam, and he said to him, if you think my father was tough, I'm going to be even tougher on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what caused the war, and that's what caused Jeroboam and the other 10 tribes to break away from Rehoboam. And then he started, you know, northern Israel. That's one of the 10 tribes of Israel separated from Judah and Benjamin because of that conflict. And, you know, the two, north and south, had wars. They had wars. And they broke away. So that's just a little bit of tidbit about Jeroboam. But this here, this says Jonah was a contemporary of Jeroboam the second of Israel, and this is in 700.
Jeroboam and Rehoboam, weren't they brothers?
No, they were not.
Solomon's
brothers.
Son.
Jeroboam was not Solomon's son, and that was the thing. Rehoboam was from the tribe of David. You know, Rehoboam came from the line of David. Right?
Mm-hmm. Like his father.
Jeroboam was not from the line of none of the kings in the northern kingdom were from the line of David. None of the kings in the northern was from the line of David.
Mm-hmm.
Only the kings of Judah were from the line of David. So Jeroboam and Rehoboam were not related.
So where did Jeroboam come from? Do you know offhand?
Jeroboam was from one of the other 10 tribes. He was not from Judah. He was from one of the other 10 tribes. I'm not sure exactly which of the 10 tribes, but he was from one of the 10 tribes. And we can look that up and see which one of the 10 tribes Jeroboam was from. But
I'm going to try to look it up while you do that.
Yeah, go right ahead. Thank you. So Jonah was a contemporary of Jeroboam II, who ministered after the time of Elisha. Does anybody know who Elisha is?
A prophet.
Right. And who did he, who was his mentor? Elisha.
Elijah.
Right, right, right. Elijah was a mentor to Elisha. Mm-hmm. And after Elijah, you know, was caught up and taken to heaven on his
chariot,
you know, at the Jordan River on the chariot, right? Elisha prophesied. So he ministered after the time of Elisha. Jonah was after Elisha and just before the time of Amos and Hosea. Israel, under Jeroboam II, was enjoying a period of resurgence and prosperity. You know, they were just like, whew, they were having a good time. But also remember, Jeroboam, like all the other 20 kings of northern Israel, did not follow God. They were all
apostasy. They got away from God.
Yeah, they were all got away from God. None of them worshiped God. They all worshiped
idols.
Right. So, but this was a time where with Jeroboam, they had a period of resurgence, they had a period of prosperity, and conditions looked promising after many bleak years. And nationalistic favor was probably high. They were chilling. But also during these years, Assyria was in a period of mild decline. Syria was in a period of mild decline. Mm. Weak rulers had ascended the throne, but Assyria remained a threat. So by the time of Jonah, Assyrian cruelty had become legendary. Graphic accounts of their cruel treatment of captives have been found in ancient Assyrian records, especially from the 9th and 7th centuries BC. Now, what does Assyria have to do with Nineveh?
Assyria? Wasn't it that was the Nineveh people, the Assyrians?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria.
Right. And Jonah, that's when God sent him. No, that was the Nineveh. Okay, I'm getting mixed up here.
Well, like she's saying, Nineveh. Excuse me. Go on.
No, go. Go ahead, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire.
Okay.
Right.
And they had
become so
evil, so just turned away from God that God wanted them to be saved. That's the reason that he sent Nineveh to them, to warn them that in 40 days
right.
they would be punished. But when you get a minute,
right.
I have Rehoboam and Jeroboam information. But go on.
Okay, let me just finish this part and we can do that. So the repentance of Nineveh probably occurred in the reign of King Ashurdan III. So it was King Ashurdan III is when the repentance of Nineveh came, but it was probably due because, one, they had two plagues that had affected them. In addition to that, there was a solar eclipse. And, you know, when we read this, like, we get real happy about a solar eclipse, right? But, you know,
yeah,
you can imagine,
Right. I mean, we know, I mean, science, we know a solar eclipse, we know what it is. But you can imagine back in those days to see a solar eclipse and the sun and the moon going across. I mean, that must have felt like death, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So they had two plagues and they had a solar eclipse. So it says that this may have prepared the people for Jonah's message of judgment, because they had just really red hard time. Yeah. So go ahead, Sister Barbara, tell us about Jeroboam.
Okay, Rehoboam and Jeroboam were both kings reigning in Israel's divided kingdom. Rehoboam was one of Solomon's sons and king of Judah in the south. See that in 1 Kings 11 and 43. Jeroboam was one of Solomon's former officials and Ephraimite, the king of Israel in the north. So while Solomon was still alive and Jeroboam was working for him, a prophet named Ahijah told Jeroboam that God would take 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel away from Solomon's son Rehoboam and give them to Jeroboam. You see this in 1 Kings 11, 29 through 31. This judgment against Solomon's house came because they had forsaken God. They became apostasy. And because they had forsaken God and worshiped idols, verse 33, along with the announcement that Jeroboam would be king, God gave him a conditional promise. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David and will give Israel to you. Verse 38. When Solomon heard that God had chosen Jeroboam to rule, again as his official, the king tried to kill Jeroboam, who fled to Egypt. Read a little bit more. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king, and Jeroboam returned from Egypt, 1 Kings 12 and 1 through 2. But Rehoboam was a foolish man. Jeroboam, a mighty man of valor, warned Rehoboam not to make the same mistake his father had made by taxing them. That's the thing. By taxing them heavily to finance a luxurious lifestyle. Rehoboam defied the advice to lighten the yoke of oppression. That's the oppression you spoke about, the taxation. I'll bring you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. So I'll leave it right there, but it's a little longer.
No, that was perfect. That was perfect. Exactly. And you know what made me also think about that, because I'm glad you brought up that Jeroboam was one of the officiates of Solomon. So Jeroboam actually, because by that time Solomon was worshiping all kind of idols. You know, Solomon was worshiping idols. And and that's what Jeroboam knew about worshiping
idols. Why was he doing that?
So he did the same thing.
Why was he worshiping all kinds of idols?
Solomon?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, because of his wives. He married women who were,
Baal
he married women who worship Baal. So he's following them. And he started doing it. I think... And he was old, too, by this time he was old. But, it's still a question to me. That's still, why? Because even in spite of all of that, he was the wisest man ever. Exactly. he didn't even follow his own words in Proverbs. He wrote Proverbs and talked about, the prostitutes that come and take you and don't follow that and all that kind of stuff like that. So he forgot about his own words, even his in Ecclesiastes where he's like, vanity, vanity, vanity. That's what, you know what I'm saying? These are all
full insanity.
Spoke about in his young years that he just poof went right out.
At that point, he was saying that it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. When you get right down to it, the only thing that matters is God.
Right.
All of this, I had 600 exactly. wives, 300 concubines, might have been 700 wives. But anyway, out of all of this,
mm-hmm.
all of this, 700, out of all of this, it is meaningless. It's all vain. It's mm-hmm. all smoke. You know, it has no meaning except for God.
Exactly. But he even forgot about God. So God became...
Well, that was the last thing he said, though. So he didn't forget. He came back to his senses. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what
I
he
wonder.
Said at the end after all of that going through and running through women, and he realized that, hey, it doesn't mean a thing.
Well,
because I think
yes.
as you get
okay.
older, your priorities starts to change.
Change,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the things that, like what you used to do when you were younger, they no longer appear to you as you get older.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's continue the lesson. Okay, so now we're up to the theme, and the theme and the purpose of Jonah. Let's see. And so Jonah reveals the power of God in nature. And we see that in chapters 1 through 2 and also in chapter 4. And the mercy of God in human affairs. And we read that in chapters 3 to chapters 4. The prophet learned that salvation is of the Lord. And that's, could you get, Hilda, could you get Jonah 2, verse 9?
Okay, 9 says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Amen.
Amen. That's it. Salvation is of the Lord. And God's gracious offer extends to all who repent and turn to him.
That's right.
Jewish nationalism blinded God's covenant people to an understanding of his concern for the Gentiles. Jonah wanted God to show no mercy to the, Ninevites. But he later learned how selfish and unmerciful his position was. So, Hilda, could you please get chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and Sister Barbara, chapter 4, verse 2. And these are the key verses to Jonah.
Okay. 8 and 9 says, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. That's stupid. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Amen.
Yes, amen. And 4 and 2?
Mine goes from 1 to 2, and it says, the title is, I knew this was going to happen. Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God, God, I knew it. when I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran on the cautious. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness.
He was very bold.
That's why I read the other way. Too later for the people. He hated them. He hated them so much
that he went
the opposite way. Yeah. But he had to come back.
He sure did. He went the opposite way. He's like, I knew you was going to do that because you're just so gracious and kind. God, you're so gracious and kind. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And the key chapter is chapter 3. So how many? Just 3 has verses 1 through 10. So let's read that, Barbara. You can read that in your chapter 3. The third chapter of Jonah records perhaps the greatest revival of all times as the entire city of Nineveh believes God and proclaims a fast and cries out to God. So
Amen.
Could you read chapter 3?
Sure. The title is Maybe God Will Change His Mind. Next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh. This is after he'd been vomited out of the wind.
Right. Yeah.
Obeying God's orders to the letter. Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's walk, and preached. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast and dressed in burlap to show their repentance. Everyone did it, rich and poor. Famous and obscure, leaders and followers. When the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up off his throne, threw down his royal robes, dressed in burlap, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a public proclamation throughout Nineveh, authorized by him and his leaders. Not one drop of water, not one bite of food for man, woman or animal, including your herds and flocks. Dress them all, both people and animals, in burlap, and send up a cry for help to God. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that stain their hands. Who knows? Maybe God will turn around and change his mind about us. Quit being angry with us and let us live. God saw what they had done. That they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. In the word of the Lord, sorry.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so now we're up to Christ and Jonah. Jonah is the only prophet whom Jesus likened to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Mm-hmm. But as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, mm-hmm. so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Mm-hmm. The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment and with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Mm-hmm. And indeed a greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Jonah is here. And that's Matthew 12:39-41.
So Jonah's experience is a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Yes.
The
yes.
Hebrew idiom, mm-hmm. the Hebrew idiom, 3 days and three nights, only requires a portion of the first and the third days.
Mm. Why is that?
Only requires a portion mm-hmm. of the first and third days. I think because it's, like we said, you know, Jesus didn't stay, you know, it was 3 days. He didn't stay in there 3 nights, but it's right. just a Hebrew idiom, 3 days, three mm-hmm. nights. And what it says is only requires a portion of the first and the third day. So it's not literal, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 days and three nights was not literal in terms of, you know, in terms of Christ.
Right.
So the contributions to the Bible. Unlike the other prophetic books, Jonah places more emphasis on the message, on the messenger, than the message. In the Hebrew, and prophetic message consists of only five words, and that's the five words is found in chapter 3 and 4, where it says, "And Jonah began to go into the city, a journey of one day, and he cried out and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be demolished.'" So he ain't say a lot. He said five words. A little bit more than 40 more days and Nineveh will be demolished.
They
took heed.
Exactly.
He didn't have to go in because you did this and you did that. That's what y'all did, and now y'all got no.
Nope. They
right
knew.
The point. 40 more days, and none of them will be yeah. demolished. That's it.
That's it.
It says, though, the 48 verses in this biological book provides a clear character development and a powerful portrait of human emotion. Jonah was the only prophet sent directly to the Gentiles and the only prophet who tried to conceal this message. He was the only one who really was trying to back out of the message.
Mm-hmm.
He learned a number of principles. Number one, it is impossible mm-hmm. to succeed in running away from God.
Yes.
Can't run away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there is no limit to what God can use to get one's attention.
Oh, wow. That is so true.
Absolutely. God got to get your attention. There's no limit to what he will do to get your attention. You know, that makes me think about, like, sometimes, you know, when people do come to Christ, a lot of times they're at a point where, you know, they say they're at their lowest of lowest.
Right.
You know, they're at their lowest of lowest, and God can go through all things to get your attention. Right,
you get rock bottom,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And three, failure does not disqualify a person from God's service.
Wow!
So even though Jonah failed, you know, he got sucked up
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
the belly.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't say to him, "Well, forget about you. I'm gonna find another prophet."
He did not.
Now you ready to listen? Go ahead.
Exactly.
Do what I told you to do.
Get back in there. Yep.
Mhm. And four, disobedience to God creates turmoil in the life of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely true.
Mhm.
That is definitely true. When
Absolutely.
We don't follow God and we go against God's will. You know it. You definitely know it, because nothing is going to turn out right.
Absolutely.
Until you get it together and do what he's telling you to do. Follow his commands. Obey.
That's right. That's right. Like everything you put your hand on, it's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And five, patriotism should never stand between a believer and the plan of God.
All right.
Patriotism should never stand between a believer and the plan of God. So what does that mean to you? Patriotism should never stand between a believer and the plan of God.
To me, that means that knowing a little history of Jonah, that his ancestors, I think I had said this before, had an oath with the Ninevites. Again, they were the Assyrians, so that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't like the Assyrians. Now, here Jonah had, his people had been conquered by the Assyrians and, you know, beaten, killed, raped, all of that, taken away, captivity and stuff. And now you're sending him to tell them to repent so that they can live. So he was a patriot of Israel. He was a Jew. So he loved He loved his people. You can't blame him. But God said, no, you're going to go and tell your enemy that I want to save them. And that's what he was chosen to do. Nobody could do it but
Jonah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. And also, you know, it's kind of, I don't know about you, but this reminds me of Paul, you know, how Paul himself was killing the Jews, right? He was he was killing the Jews.
And
God, what was God's plan? He said, you ain't standing between. He used him, right?
Yes.
You're going to preach to him now, to the Gentiles.
Now you're going exactly. You're going to preach to these people, and you're going to preach to the Gentiles. You're going to preach about the same man you've been crucifying.
That's right.
You're going to preach about Jesus Christ, and I'm sending you to the Gentiles.
And boy, did he preach.
And at one point, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
After all of that, and kicking butt and being shipwrecked, and but I am not ashamed
by
of the gospel.
Everything. And he wasn't even one of the disciples.
No.
Well, he was a disciple.
The original.
He came along some years later. Yeah.
Right.
How did the disciples respond to Paul, though? At first.
At first, they didn't want anything to do with him. They were afraid of him.
And I think one of them, I forgot who was it that kind of spoke up for him. Was it Silas? One of them spoke up for him.
Right,
and said, you know, he's all right. You know, give him a break. He's good now. He's one of us now. Even Ananias came to him to tell him what Jesus had said and what he would have to do. He was leery.
Telling
Christians to tell him it's gonna be all right.
Oh my goodness. And they already know you the butcher man. You the butcher man.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So it goes on to say many, more than any other Old Testament book, Jonah reveals the universal concerns of Yahweh for all men. It is interesting that Nineveh responded better to the preaching of Jonah than Israel and Judah ever responded to any of their prophets.
I wonder why.
I think it's, you know what it is? It's privilege. It's privilege. You know, because
what do you mean?
Because they knew, meaning that Israel and Judah knew they were the chosen, the Jews were the chosen people.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe that God would do anything to them. Because, you know, they just felt like we're chosen.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us. And
he's not gonna
do anything to us. And they never believed the prophets. They didn't believe them. They didn't believe God would do anything to them. Because they were
But don't forget. Don't forget the Israelites were punished too along the way now when they left Egypt. Remember, like a generation or two died in the desert because of their disobedience and their questioning.
They did, but they absolutely did every time, and they did it again. They stopped
over
and over.
But also,
over and over, they stopped them.
Mm-hmm. But also the Ninevites, I guess they were sick of themselves. They knew they were evil, you know, and they were probably tired of all of that, you know, evilness, that wickedness. And when this man, this prophet, comes along and said, you got 40 days.
40.
That sounds like a mother telling a child something.
Exactly.
You got 10 minutes
you got one
to
more
get
time.
That stuff up off
you
the floor. And if you don't, need I say more? You know the deal. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess, too, like I said, they had gone through a plague. Right. They had seen
the plagues that they went through. So, yeah, they were kind of saying, like, you know what? I think it's time for us to change and repent of our ways. And maybe there's a better life. You know, there's a better life.
Right, so, so they responded better than to any of the other prophets.
Ooh.
Now, Jonah has often been challenged because of its miraculous elements, especially the great, a preconceived view that does not allow God of creation to directly use his creation for special purposes. In addition, there are published accounts of men who have survived being swallowed by whales. Certain whales have the capacity to engorge a man in one swallow, but the Hebrew word does not specify what kind of fish was involved in Jonah's case.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So doesn't really say what kind. But I think even the
illustration of Jonah being swallowed.
Where was the chapter that we read with the people on the boat when he got on the boat and the winds and the rain and all of that came and they were what chapter was that? I really enjoyed reading that because I felt like they felt on that boat like what is happening? Who is and he's down there sleeping
and they didn't. And they didn't have that problem until Jonah got on the boat.
Yeah, that's the first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What chapter is that?
Starting around verse 3 and 4.
On chapter 1?
1, You see it?
No, I think it's, let's see, it's chapter 1. I'm in chapter 2. Yes, in chapter 1. And did the, let me see, was the,
3.
Did the people on the, chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving to Tarshish. I'm trying to see did the people on the boat become converted too? Did they accept?
No,
not at first.
It didn't say if they were converted. It said they threw Jonah off the boat. Maybe they did.
He said, Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? And he said, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land.
I'm looking at verse 8. It says,
go ahead. Read it, please.
Where's that? I just saw it. Really 9. It says, well, then they grilled him. Confess, why this disaster? What is your work? Where do you come from? What country? What family? He told them, I am a Jew. I worship God, the God of heaven, who made sea and land. At that point, the men were frightened, really frightened, because they had their own gods. So what on earth have you done? As Jonah talked, the sailors realized that he was running away from God. They said to him, what are we going to do with you to get rid of this storm? By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. I just want to read down to 14, where it says, Jonah said, throw me overboard into the sea, then the storm will stop. It's all my fault. I'm the cause of the storm. Get rid of me, and you'll get rid of the storm. But no, the men tried rowing back to shore. They had no headway. The storm only got worse and worse, wild and raging. Then they prayed to God. Remember, they had idols before, other gods. Oh, God, don't let us drown because of this man's life, and don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best. So they kind of turned to Jonah's God at that point.
Right. And 16, it says, read verse 16.
Okay. And so it says, they took Jonah and threw him overboard. Immediately the sea was quieted down. The sailors were impressed, no longer terrified by the sea, but in awe of God. They worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. So, yeah, they turned. They converted.
They vowed. Yeah, they converted. They converted. Amen. So few things happened on that boat. Praise be to God.
And to
they were like, who is this God? What are you doing? Oh no, this is whoever this God is, we gonna follow him and worship him. Because the sea and everything just stopped.
The calmness of the sea after they got rid of Jonah. We gotta worship his God. Look at that. Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. We ain't never seen our little gods do nothing like that.
So in his rushing to go the wrong way, he evangelized a ship of of sailors.
Yes,
he evangelized them. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so the survey of Jonah. So Jonah is an unusual book because of its message and messenger. Unlike other Old Testament books, it revolves exclusively around a Gentile nation. God is concerned for the Gentiles as well as for his covenant people, Israel. But God's messenger is a reluctant prophet who does not want to proclaim his message for fear that the Assyrians will respond and be spared by the compassionate God of Israel. Of all the people and things mentioned in the book, the storm, the lots, the sailors, the fish, the Ninevites, the plant, the worm, and the east wind, only the prophet himself failed to obey God. All these were used to teach Jonah a lesson
in compassion and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
The four chapters divided into two parts, which is the first part is the first commission of Jonah, and that's chapters 1 and 2. And the second part is the second commission of Jonah, which is chapters 3 and 4. So in the first commission of Jonah, which is chapters 1 and 2, this chapter records the commission of Jonah, the disobedience of Jonah, and the judgment of Jonah. Jonah does not want to see God spare the notorious, cruel Assyrians. To preach a message of repentance to them would be like helping Israel's enemies. In his patriotic zeal, Jonah puts his country before God and refused to represent God in Nineveh. Instead of going 500 miles northeast to Nineveh, Jonah attempts to go 2,000 miles west to Tarshish, which is known as Spain. But the Lord uses a creative series of countermeasures to accomplish his desired result. Jonah's efforts to thwart God's plan is futile. God prepares a great fish to preserve Jonah and deliver him on dry land. The fish is a divinely appointed rendezvous with the sinking prophet. With the sinking prophet became a powerful reminder to Jonah of the sovereignty of God in every circumstance, right? So this fish was actually encasing and keeping Jonah safe, even though he was thrown off of the boat, right? Safe until he got him onto dry land. Otherwise, he would drown. If God didn't put him, God had no intentions on killing him, right? He didn't want to kill him. Well, he would have been able to save him, but he didn't want him to drown. So while inside the fish, Jonah uttered a declarative praise psalm, which alludes to several psalms that were racing through his mind. And the psalms were, Hilda, could you get Psalm 3, verse 8? Read, from Psalm 3, read verse 8. And Hilda, I'm sorry, that's Hilda. And Sister Barbara, can you get Psalm 31 and read verse 22? Psalm 31, verse 22. And I'll get Psalm 42, verse 7. And I'll tell you all to read it in a minute. So let me just finish this chapter. So in his unique prayer closet, because his prayer closet was the belly, Jonah offers thanksgiving for his deliverance from drowning, when he acknowledges that salvation is of the Lord. He is finally willing to obey and be used by God. After he is cast up on the shore, Jonah has a long time to reflect on his experience during his eastward trek of 500 miles to Nineveh. So, Hilda, you can read Psalm 3 and 8.
3 and 8 says, "Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people." Amen.
Mm-hmm. And 31 and 22?
It goes from 19 to 22, so I don't know. It says, "What a stack of blessing you have piled up for those who worship you, ready and waiting for all who run to you to escape an unkind world. You hide them safely away from the opposition. As you slam the door on those oily, mocking faces, you silence the poisonous gossip. Blessed God, his love is the wonder of the world. Trapped by a siege, I panicked. Out of sight, out of mind, I said. But you heard me say it. You heard and listened. love God, all you saints. God takes care of all who stay close to him. But he pays back in full those arrogant enough to go it alone. Amen.
Amen. And that was 31:22?
Mm-hmm. That was 31:19 through 23.
19 through 23. Okay, so 22, I just want to, 22 says, as for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Yeah, that's, however, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you for help. And then 42:7 says, deep is calling to deep at the thunder of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have passed over me. And then 69:1 says, that was 42:7. And then 69:1 says, save me, O God, because waters have come up to my neck.
Okay.
So those are the Psalms and prayers of Jonah. And yeah, so we will end here. And we just got one more chapter. Well, a few more words. We just got the second submission of Jonah when we come back. And then we'll go to Micah. We'll be moving on to Micah.
Almost finished with the Old Testament.
Yeah. Amen. Okay.
So you want to reiterate the homework assignment again?
Yeah, so the homework assignment is to find out where was Jonah born.
Amen.
Where was Jonah born?
Mm-hmm.
You got that, Hilda?
Yes, ma'am. I'm about to look for it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Jonah born? Yeah, do it. Yeah, you got to do it right after the lesson. It works out better that way.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Let's play out. Hilda, you want to pray us out?
Yeah. Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for the lesson this evening. I pray that each and every one of us, that our minds and that was open to receive what thus says the Lord, and thank you for this wonderful lesson on Jonah and the fish, and that thank you for our teacher, awesome lady of God, and she did an excellent job, Father God. Thank you for Barbara Amore, who is just right on point with the answers and the questions. Thank you for each and every one of us, and bless our homes and our families, and let your continue to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yay. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.
All right. God willing.
God willing.
You know, we're expecting a lot of rain.
I just told my daughter they went on vacation to Rhode Island. They were supposed to come back tomorrow. I told her, you better come back today. Forget about coming, because we're driving 3 hours. I said, you need to come back today. Don't wait till tomorrow. They're on their way home. Yeah, they're on their way home now.
Beautiful. Yeah, you can't take the kids on their way home. But you don't want to be out there. You know.
Right. Exactly.
I found
all right,
it.
Guys.
Yay!
You found it?
Yes.
What were you looking for?
Where was Jonah born?
So we'll hear when we come back next Tuesday. We'll hear that. We'll go do that first.
Amen.
Alrighty then. Love you guys.
Praise God.
Thanks.
Love you too. Bye bye.
But I saw it all the time. Why didn't I write it down? Oh well. Never mind.
You got it now.
I got it now.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. See you tomorrow.
Love you too. Shalom.
With my song. Praise God.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.